So, thank you so much. This is going to be a little bit different today. We've had a number of teams in different nations in the last 2 months, India, Nepal, Australia, and the Congo, and some amazing things are happening there. And so what we want to do is we did it with the India team, and you can go online if you want to hear their stories. But we just want to invite the team up here for a while, and I'm going to ask him a few questions about the trip so that you can feel part of it. You are part of it because the finances that are sown into this church are not just used to on buildings, as you can see, and stuff like that. But we want to use it for the extension of the kingdom, and we haven't had an opportunity to bless these people in an incredible way. So if the team could come up. We're just going to set a few chairs up here, so if you could please come. The Australian team, are you here? Can you come up?
Great. Am I on? Good morning, Oceanside. So isn't this a fantastic looking team, eh? We never picked them for their looks, but they do have looks. So we were fortunate that we sent a good looking team. Mark, can you sit a bit back just so I can see the others? Great. So we're going to start off with a really serious question first. How many sheep did you actually see?
I saw a dead kangaroo. I don't think I saw a sheep, but unfortunately I saw a dead kangaroo on the side of the road, like it was a deer.
Okay, let's go to real questions because this is going to go downhill, I can see.
We ate a lot of sheep.
There we go. You had a lot of sheep. Great. So, Camilla, it's appropriate that you've got the mic there because I'm going to start off by asking you the first question. So, what for you was the moment or an event that maybe happened on the trip that was the most momentous for you? Was there an occasion like that that you just stuck out in your mind?
Yes. This one might be slightly longer, but we'll try not to. Mine was actually something that was unexpected as well, but was also the most momentous, was, don't laugh, it's when I got my eyelashes done. But you don't know the whole story, that's just the bombshell. I went actually it was on the last day, and there's stuff leading up to that that God had put in place. I know it sounds silly, but it's not at the end of it. When I went there, to this eyelash studio, it was one lady there, and it was me, Kara, and the lady that we were staying with. Her name was Chicky, and she's involved with Matt Doty and Elodie's church. And so we went in there, and we just felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we got into a conversation that this lady, this lash esthetician, was... her son was sick, and we started talking about healing for him, and she talked about healing that she was going to spiritual resources that weren't in Jesus' name, but we just talked about our experiences through God's name, healing for us in God's name, and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful conversation, and she said, "You couldn't have come at a better time." She also, Kara had asked her before we started praying for her. Kara said, "Do you have any healing in your life that you want to see happen?" And she did. She had some sickness as well, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. So at the end of my two-hour lash session, so we had a lot of conversation between that time. It was amazing. And at the end, we all prayed for her, and we all had words for her, and she was just blown away. And we were blown away because we were like, this is so stinking awesome. Because, you know, you present God, you show God's love as you go in life. It's not like you have to make a big event about it. Because that's not where he sometimes shows up. The biggest ways, it's in that one-on-one as you go, in the quiet most of the time. So it was very beautiful.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
can I add to that?
Go for it, Kara. Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
What really like blessed me is like this lady was like totally. She's very open to spiritual stuff, but like not God, you know, spiritual stuff at all. And so you know, she's speaking about readings and positive energies, and then at the end to pray for her and to like speak these words into her life, like just the love God has for her. Mm. Like she doesn't believe, you know, in God. You know, she believes in any God, you know what I mean? Anything's good as long as it, you know, feels right. But just to hear the words and the plan God has for her life, like, I was completely blown away.
Wow, wonderful. Yeah. Keep the mic with you, yes, Kara. Sir. So we often talk when we're talking about guys coming on these trips, we say, if you go, you're going to be blessed. You're going to come back better off or for the richer for the experience. So maybe, is that your experience? Do you feel that you came back richer from the experience? And if so, how and in what way?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing God really showed me on the trip was to get over yourself. And it's very, I mean, it helped to be traveling with men and, you know, them constantly. They didn't appreciate selfies, so. But like, to not take yourself so seriously, and God has given each of us a gift. And to be like, no, I'm shy, or I don't know. And, you know, we were put on the spot a lot of times to be like, okay, do you guys got something you want to share? And, you know, I find now that I'm back home, like, it's not all about me. It's not all about, well, I don't feel like sharing it, or, you know, I'm not in the mood, I'm having a bad day, I don't want to pray for that person. So I think my entire perspective has changed in that sense.
Wonderful. Pass the mic down to Mike, please. So, yeah, Mike. Okay, this is not the preach. Okay, just tell me one of the churches. Pick one of the churches that you visited. Okay, and looking at the team in total, I know that you went to many churches, but pick one of the churches that you visited and just let us know how you felt the team was able to impact that local church.
Can I speak about two?
Some
of the team were with us for half the trip for 2 weeks, and then we went on, Brian and myself, for the next 2 weeks. And I think for me, the most impactful church meeting for me was in a church that's just been planted, and we wanted to come alongside them. And in fact, there's two of the team, one's still in, Serge is still in Australia, and Doug is visiting family. Mm. But believe it or not, there were more of us than people in that church.
Wow.
And to me, they were just overwhelmed because we had many invites to many churches, some of them a couple hundred, that we would choose to come and be with them.
Yeah.
And I think they were overwhelmed with that. But I think for me in that time is Dave Hager, who leads that church, is an extremely prophetic gift. And I'd asked him if you'd speak over the individuals in the church, and some of them might even mention that as the impactful time, but it was just incredible to see what God was doing and saying to the team.
Mm.
And as you said, we sometimes are giving, but we get way more back. And I think it blew that church away. And then we're in a place called Warrnambool. And we were asked to do a church camp. So that was with Brian and myself. Went to that. And on the Saturday night, God just moved in an amazing way. I felt in God to call the children out and to speak and pray destiny into them, and the ones that felt a call of God. And I think 40 kids came up.
36,
Brian. They were... My was keeping tabs, so that's great. 36 of them came up, and some of them were 3-4 years old.
Wow.
And some of them were in their late teens, early 20s. And we prayed for them, and that was amazing. But I just felt to get the parents, because it was a church camp, that were there to come and pray for their children.
Yeah.
And it was one of the most incredible times. There were groups of parents with the kids all over this room. Some were crying, a lot of hugging, a lot of prayer. And just to step back out of that, I just stood by the side wall and just saw God, just families come together relationally it was just a God moment that just opened up. And I think to me, Brian, I think that for us, we've spoken about that over the entire trip. That was more than likely the most impactful.
Yeah, wonderful. Let's just pass this down to Wes. Isn't that amazing, eh? So Wes, this is kind of a question looking back at Oceanside now. So what benefit do you think Oceanside has gained or gains out of us sending teams out on apostolic ventures into other nations like you guys have just been on? Do you think this local church benefits from that as well as the churches that are there? And if so, how?
It's a good question.
Can I get back to you on that?
Debs? This is hot. I think it's always a benefit when the church can see what's happening in the kingdom at large. Mm. When your eyes get expanded, it's inevitable that your thinking changes. I think about growing up in a church, a small church in Toronto, and having guys come in that we related to, guys that were on the NCMI apostolic team, that just came in with an outside voice, and they would come in and bring this perspective, and the problem was is that you hear what they're saying, but you apply it to what you know. And so you see it through the lens that you're already wearing. And something amazing happens when you step out of your context is that your lens actually has to change.
Very good.
And so the impact that it has for the local church is that, yes, we have guys come in and they can say things, but when they say things, we think about it through our own world. But when you go, you see another man's world, and you have to think at it in his context, and it makes you see a different paradigm altogether.
Very good.
So for us, coming back now, looking at our church context, it's like we can see things that we didn't see before. We start hearing what people are saying, even from the microphone, and say, ooh, maybe we can do this better, or maybe we can include visitors a little bit better, or so-and-so church did such an amazing job of informing people about different outreaches, and da-da-da. Maybe we can do that better. And also to see what we're doing well. And to just encourage and to know the flavor that God has called us to.
Awesome, Wes. That's great. Can you pass to Debs, please? So, Debs, I know that you went on the trip with a heart to be a blessing, and I know that this entire team went on the trip to be a heart, with a heart to be a blessing to other churches. So, through your lens now, right, of what you saw happening, did you feel that the team achieved that? And if they did, how did they impact those churches? You know, how were they a blessing?
Well, we went with a brilliant team. I was wonderfully surprised by Sergey, who's still in Australia at the moment. Wow. Was a young man on our team who I just knew. I mean, just by seeing him, I hadn't actually spent time with him. So it was wonderful just seeing this man operate in his gifts. These wonderful ladies, they just, wherever hands needed to be there, they were there helping hands.
Wonderful.
The guys picked and carried, set chairs out, swept, washed dishes. Honestly, I just was blown away at how fabulous this team worked together, and they were a terrific testimony of Oceanside. And a brilliant comment that was passed was, boy, if only we could have a church like your team, we would be so happy.
Wow, is that amazing?
Just the giftings that came and shone forth, you know. And I think that's one of the marvels, that when we do go, there is definitely an apostolic anointing that comes on us, and you think this is just brilliant. This could be all the time. And since I've been back, I must say I have seen the giftings that we carry increase in each of the lives
Wonderful.
That went.
Isn't that amazing? Brian.
Yes.
So we've talked about how God impacted the team as a whole in the different churches. We've talked about the churches there being impacted by the whole team. We've talked about how Oceanside can be impacted by teams coming back. I'm looking now at an individual, and I'm just saying to you, in terms of your world, was there a moment on the trip that for you was unexpected, maybe in God's dealings personally with you and the way he's talking to you and leading you, and you've come back with a different perspective, not looking now in terms of a group perspective, but in terms of you. Was there an unexpected moment that maybe God, you encountered something different over on that trip and came back and said, yes, I feel God's doing this, or he's done this, or he's wanting to do this?
Excuse me. Well, there was pardon me, a number of occasions that stick out. Mike has mentioned the one about the prayer in a place called Hall's Gap in the Grampian Mountains, which was just amazing. The whole week there, and I'm sorry the team didn't get to share that, just Mike and I did, but it was when Mike prayed over the children and then over their families, it was just, there's no way to describe how amazing that was. Fine. And that's one incident. Generally speaking, and I'll get to a specific point, but generally, we were gone for a month, and I got back. I was worn out. It was a lot of work, plain and simple. And just the weightiness of your words and how people listen to you, there's nothing to be taken for granted. You couldn't be flippant about it, and I love to be. Humor is sort of my specialty, and there was time for that, but I tell you, it was just so amazing to watch how intently these churches listened to what Mike had to say, Deb's had to say, and all of us. And I was, it was just, you talk about a different perspective that Wes mentioned, it was just profound to be part of it and watch how church members, just like this body here, reacted to each one of these people. And especially, I'm part of the older half of the team. Doug was with us as well. And I was just so proud to watch these three and Sergey and just how they impacted on the range of people, different ages, different genders. It was just, it was amazing. Pardon me. Specific moment for me. I was hosted by a family in Melbourne, the first host I'd had since I was, 13, when I was traveling playing hockey. And it was quite an experience, and a fellow's name is Duncan, and we're good friends now. But his wife, Carol, wasn't well, and they had a son, Mitchell. Anyways, the long and the short of it is that Mitchell had been having some drug problems. And it had impacted the father so badly, he'd taken a year off of work with psychiatric problems. And I have had experience with my own children and drugs. And anyways, it was just an amazing 4 days I spent with him. And I saw God working through me in mentoring to him and to his wife. And his wife went from migraines and laying on her back to actually getting out and coming out with us. And it was just to watch the transformation of them and the blessing that was placed on them and the hope for their future. And I know that God put me there in that moment, in that place, for that purpose. And there were several of those. And so from my perspective, it was
wonderful,
very overwhelming.
Awesome. Great. Mark, you want to share something?
Just one of the things in meeting with the team before we went in any team, I said, listen, you're not coming as spectators. God's going to use you in a powerful way. And the majority of the ministry will be one-on-one. Mm. We have the preaching times and so on. And I think every single one of them can attest to that. And in placing the people in the homes, I knew that God would know where every single one of them would be. We didn't choose the homes, but God knows. God knew before the foundation of the earth that this team would be there. And you can speak to everyone. And that's another thing, is to open your homes when people come through. Deborah and I found the secret out in South Africa when we were in our 20s. A team member we weren't on the team, but was coming through to our church, and they needed somebody to host them, and we just stuck our hands up. We were so blessed by that we actually separated a room with its own personal bathroom, and we called it the prophet's room. And we told the church, anytime there were people hosted, could we be first? And they were relieved. But we had a secret. We had these people moving through our houses. We connected with people all over the world that we would never have connected on just by opening our house. And that thing of being more blessed to give than receive. I spoke to the host of these. Well, they came to me and they personally thanked me, not so much about the ministry, but about the people that stayed in their home.
Wonderful. Camilla, let's go for a last question here. So we've got a trip coming up to Quesnel shortly. What would you say to somebody who's sitting here that's thinking, I wonder if I should be going on this trip or not, and yet they haven't made a decision yet? What would your thoughts to them be off the back of you coming back off a trip like you've just been on?
I would say that it's such a beautiful thing to go as a group of people and you step out together. So it's, you're learning things that sometimes, like, you can do these things at home, you know, but you go as a, with a purpose, and you're doing it together, and it's really encouraging in your walk with God of just using unity and love and stepping out in faith together. And then it also creates an amazing friendship. It creates even further unity within with each other, you know. I didn't even know Brian not well that much, but he is so funny. And, like, it, you just learn, and so loving and so just you're on all the time. And it's awesome. And you learn things about people that you didn't think that you would learn. Mm. And it's so beautiful. And it also just teaches you how to love with God's love. Because you don't just go, you, like, once you feel like you're fed up maybe, and you can't just, like, pick up and go.
Yeah.
Like, you deal with it, you know, and you go forward with God's love and faith in God and his plans for that time. It's beautiful. It's an amazing thing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So, Debs.
Yeah. You know, I also just want to encourage those of you who were thinking, well, should I or shouldn't I go? When you think, every time we've had people come over and you have one person standing, how much more were you impacted by teams of people, very much what you are saying now. It's that one-on-one ministry. And when I look back over people coming and ministering, it was always, there was way more impact with the one-on-one times.
Yeah.
With people from the team.
Sure.
And so it's not all about who is going to be the main speaker.
Yeah.
When we realize that God gives us all gifts, that he has anointed all of us.
Mm.
To go and preach the word.
Amazing.
That when we go and when we step out, you are a vessel for him to minister through. And the churches are wonderfully blessed. I know when teams have come to Oceanside, the whole church, we are so blessed by those one-on-one relationships. So if I can encourage you, if you think, oh, golly, Quesnel, it's right here, it's not exotic. Let me tell you, for somebody coming from somewhere else, Canada is very exotic. We've just become so used to the beauty. We've become so complacent in just what a wonderful country that we live in, that we think, oh, what is Quesnel? Quesnel is God's chosen city as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen?
Wonderful. Let's give them a hand. Thank you, guys, for coming up. Awesome. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. You might be new here and wondering what this is all about. We speak about apostolic, and the word apostolic simply means sent one. And our vision statement, as you can see there, is to be a gathering, healing, training, sending church. You'll hear that a lot. And we want to be a church that not only impacts Nanaimo, but impacts the nations that God calls us to. And it's amazing because God says he'll use the foolish to confound the wise. And most people can't pronounce Nanaimo. And when I tell them our church is on a road called Jinglepot, they nearly fall off the seat. And then I tell them I'm leading it, and they really lose it. So. And
But truly, that's what God called us to do from the beginning. From leaving South Africa, we were part of a church that wanted to impact the nations. And it's a church called Hillside. We're Oceanside. We used to be closer to the ocean when we met originally. So the name meant maybe a little bit more geographically. But when we were in this church, it was a church of about 250. And in 1 year, that church planted four churches, one in Malawi, in a place called Blantyre, one in Scotland, this church in Canada, and a church in Los Angeles. And at great cost to that church, because a lot of resources obviously go into sending people. And we came here with the vision to create a base that would impact not only Canada, but the nations of the world. And we're starting to see that come through. So I've been part of this apostolic team ministering around in many different cities, and you'll often see that I'm not here. The amazing thing about the church is the church normally does better when I'm not here, and I take that as a huge compliment of what God has brought, the quality of leadership, the quality of team that God has built, because God never intended the church to be built around one personality or one person. And we can see that. I've honestly, from the beginning of September to the end of October, believe it or not, you might not realize this, I was out 6 out of 8 weeks. And look how the church has done. And I love this church. I love coming back. We were, by the time we ended the trip in 27, 28 days, plus the travel, we had ministered into six different churches and held 17 meetings. And the first weekend we arrived there, we arrived on the Wednesday. On the Thursday, we started our first leadership meeting. And by the end of that weekend with this team, we had done six meetings. And so, as Brian says, it's pretty exhausting, but it's really rewarding when you see what God does. And so I want to encourage you to come along on the journey with us. These small trips, obviously a small church can't host everybody, so some will need to book hotels and that. But we can never outgive God, and when we go, we are so blessed. We only go where we are invited. We never ask, and we never ask churches to pay for us to come. We come, this church sends us, many pay their own way. And that way we can go to churches that can't afford to have the big so-called speakers, which we're not. And I want to tell you that there's an open door in Australia. I was asked to go to Sydney. We just couldn't get there. We were asked to come to New Zealand. We just didn't have time. The Congo is opening up. You'll hear from the Congo team. And I tell you, there's another whole world there that is an open door. Through Johan and what happened there. And India and Nepal, there are churches that are looking to us for input and oversight. Russ has opened the door there. Russ, who was up here, spent 6 years in India, 6 or 7 years, I think, in India, and actually can speak Hindi because of his time there. So these churches are looking to us for input and for us for encouragement. And sometimes we need to be able to resource what they're doing just because of the situations. And so it's not a little community church. It's a church on a mission to see the gospel come. I love the word. It starts in Nanaimo. And guys, what gives us credibility there is what we do here. And I believe that's why the enemy so often wants to scatter what is happening here, because I believe that we are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. If we can help churches stay the course and survive. I got a call on Friday from a new church plant in Tacoma. It's been going about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And please, can we bring a team to Tacoma to come alongside them? I'm going to go to two Hispanic churches in Los Angeles early next year too, and we've been, I could go on and on about the invites. And the amazing thing is, like I say, not once have we ever phoned and said,
have ministry, please make a place, or this is what it will cost you to have this ministry in here. We don't see that in the gospel, but we want to be a blessing. And the church in Cornell is an amazing church, but for them to be overwhelmed, for me, the biggest thing that anybody can do for a church is, because churches are always, there's a battle. There's a battle, spiritual and physical, that goes on. And to have people just encourage them, and to have people just say, hey, we're standing with you, and you can FaceTime and email. I FaceTimed one of the churches last night, just finished the Sunday service in Australia, and had the whole family, Deb and I, on FaceTime, hearing the stories. And it was the church that we prayed for, Brian and I, for the children. And last week at their prayer meeting, the children prayed for our church. They came up and they prayed for Oceanside. I mean, it's just amazing. And so we don't have a formal membership. We love people to commit to what we're doing. And if this is where you, God has placed you, it's love to let us know. Because we don't believe in contract, we believe in covenant relationships. But one of the things that is very extremely necessary to be a part of this church, it's a non-negotiable, is a passport. Because how can you go without one? Just a little joke. But get your passports, start saving money, and come on the trips, local and translocal. I was going to speak on a partnership today from the book of Philippians. We're going to look at that next week, a little bit more, some of the things. But Paul thanks his church for the partnership in the gospel from the first time to now. And I was going to look at how they partnered with him. But the thing with partnership, there's a cost to it. The partnership with the church, there's a cost. We can be, this church wasn't a church that were in the bleachers watching Paul's ministry. They were actively involved. They prayed for him. They encouraged him. They financed his ministry. You can see that all in that book. They sent people to help him. And that's what partnership is all about. And so as we partner with these churches, most of the churches that we partner with really cannot afford to partner with us if we're in that way. But as they grow, our heart is that they will begin to partner with others around them. And that way, the church will grow. The biggest, Barner will say that, George Barner, that lead guys, pastors, are leaving the ministry at such a rate because of discouragement, because of burnout and all of that. And I believe it's because they don't have people like us, like our funny team, that can go and say, it's okay. You're doing good. We're with you. We will help you. And I Skype with churches. This is an amazing thing, using electronics. I Skype with churches, some of them, almost every week in Australia and other places. Church plants. And we sit down and we talk. What's going on in the church? What are your needs? How can we pray for you? What did you do when you were this size? And I tell you what, it's an amazing gift that we have now, that we don't even have to fly there, but we can partner with them. But there's nothing like going and giving somebody a hug. And if Deborah and I can leave that church more encouraged, because most of them have got quality leaders. Most of those leaders can preach well. Some of them are smaller and need help in areas. But I tell you, the biggest gift that we can get is say, stay the course, and when you're in trouble, give us a call and let us stand with you. And I tell you, as Brian says, we get involved. The kitchen table stuff with the lead guys for Deborah and I is our marriage is struggling. Our children are struggling. We have no finances. And instead of them having to sit there together because they're too afraid to tell the church this, in case everybody leaves, you come in there and you can say, man, we're going to stand with you. We're going to pray with you. We're going to help you through this. Because you know what? We've been through all of that. And I tell the churches, I can teach them more about the mistakes I've made in leading than the things I've done right. And if I can get them to a level where they can learn through us and be stronger, because their answer to this church is not going to be found outside of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's nothing in the world that he's building outside of his church. And so I want to encourage you to partner with us, to partner with the church, to get involved. The stronger this church is, the stronger we are out there. When this church is frail, we have to look inwards to help this. And that happens sometimes. But how much more when we can just open the doors and say, listen, we're going on another trip. Like I say, we've got one coming up to Los Angeles. That's a great one to go through in February. And we've got this one in Tacoma that I'm so excited about. You know, they've been going a month, and they put it out there, and they have about 40 people come in already in 1 month. Took us about 2 years to get 40 people. And so, praise God, things are getting better and better. And so I want to thank you with that. If we're expecting a preach, you can stay over. I love preaching, and we can do it after the coffee time. But no, please go and have an amazing time. Spend time with your family and friends, and please get involved. If you're new and this doesn't make sense to you, we have a little lounge there, and we would love to speak to you about it. And Paul wants to say something.
Yeah, just with reference to that visitor's lounge.
Turned on. I'll speak loud. There we go. As we dismiss, just want to say to those of you that are new, we would love to get to know you. If you have questions, we have a team that would love to answer them. So there's no silly questions. So please come and ask them. The visitor's lounge is in the back. There's coffee, there's tea, and we'd love to just get to know you and hear a bit of your story. So come and find us.
Wonderful. God bless you all. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming. And please stay and have some fellowship with your friends. Thank you.
I had to do it.